From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 73 of Little Brother for the 19th of February, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Okay, here's one from the Oh Hell No files. Some of you may remember a service from pre-COVID times called MoviePass. This was an all-you-can-eat buffet of cinema. Essentially, you would buy a pass that would let you occupy an otherwise unoccupied seat in a movie theater for a periodic flat rate. There were exclusions, of course, but the idea was to keep theaters from having empty seats. They folded in 2019. Well, they're back. In the new version, though, you need an app on your phone, and you have to watch some advertising to earn your seat. Notice, I didn't say you'd be shown some advertising, but rather I said you must watch some advertising. During the advertising that you must watch, your device's camera will be activated, and they will be making sure that you are watching. Not watching? No movie. This is an absurd level of dystopian fuckery, and hopefully it will pass. I will definitely pass. For more dystopian fuckery, look for later in the episode for the fail of the week. A Dutch security researcher who goes by JKC Tech has published a proof of concept for using the People Near Me function in Telegram to get a solid fix on a person's location. It seems that the information provided by Telegram telling you how far a person is from you is carried out to enough precision to locate them on a map by noting their distance from three distinct points, drawing a circle on a map of the specific distance around each point, and noting where the circles intersect, a process known as trilateration, or sometimes mistakenly referred to as triangulation. All they have to do to fix this problem is reduce the resolution of the distance reported to whole kilometers. Pinning down a person's location accurately would be no longer as simple. In episode 67, I mentioned that CrowdStrike had observed some attacks being lobbed against VMware Horizon systems. Well, this week we have news that one of the threat actors doing this have been dubbed Tunnel Vision. They appear to be aligned with the Iranian government. Of course, as mentioned before, this is a Log4j-based attack, and despite several false starts, fixes for that have been available for a couple of months now, so patch your systems! JP Morgan have done what, to me, seems like a really weird thing to do. They have opened a branch in the metaverse. JP Morgan, which has a division dealing in cryptocurrencies and other blockchain oddities, is projecting that this will become a $1 trillion market opportunity. While they are not the first commercial entity to build out in the metaverse, they are the first bank, and I'm quite frankly not sure what to make of it. It feels a lot like Ready Player One, except that in this version, IOI won control of the Oasis. The The European Union's Data Protection Authority, or DPA, have called for a ban on the distribution and use of certain spyware products, most notably the Pegasus spyware from Israeli firm NSO Group, which I have mentioned more times than I'm going to list here. The DPA have stated that the software is not a valid tool for law enforcement activity and that using it to intrude on devices should be avoided. The U.S. Justice Department has issued a warning that, if you stop to think about it, is simply common sense. As tensions are rising between Russia and Ukraine, and as the U.S. has diplomatically aligned itself with Ukraine, it logically follows that we should expect more and fiercer cyber attacks on U.S. entities, including governments, corporations, and nonprofits, originating from or on behalf of Russia. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Lisa Monaco has emphasized that the threat is in no way hypothetical and that U.S. companies would be foolish not to shore up their cybersecurity amidst increased tensions. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. The winner of this week's competition is GiveSendGo. GiveSendGo is a self-styled Christian crowdfunding site. According to Wikipedia, they have a reputation for facilitating far-right activism, often providing cover for crowdfunding efforts that have been removed from other services such as GoFundMe. The self-identified Freedom Convoy that has been occupying the streets of the Canadian capital of Ottawa for the last 3 weeks has been getting funded through some of GiveSendGo's efforts after, go figure, they were removed from GoFundMe for being too controversial. Anyway, GiveSendGo got pwned. It seems that a security lapse on their part revealed the personal information of over 92,000 donors to the convoy, including a $90,000 donation from American software tycoon Thomas Siebel. It is known that distributed denial of secrets are in possession of the data, and that they are making it somewhat available in three distinct tranches. However, they are keeping a fairly tight control over its distribution due to it containing a great deal of personally identifiable information, some of which is not related to the convoy. It is available to journalists and researchers. I've also become aware that, for instance, the Southern Poverty Law Center are amongst the researchers to have received the data and that they're studying it for useful patterns. So how about some good news? In episodes 56, 57, and 66, I told you about what happened when a journalist in the state of Missouri discovered a dangerous flaw in the website of the state's education department, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, or DESE. To recap, the flaw concerned a portion of the DESE website which allowed parents, students, members of the general public, or whoever, to look up information about the teachers who work in the state of Missouri. As intended, it would provide visitors with bios, brief summaries of credentials, etc. Basically, information that any good parent might be interested in. Well, hitching a ride with the information that was rightly made public, however, was a lot of the personal information of these teachers. It was not directly displayed, but it was nonetheless sent along for the ride in the HTML that was transmitted by the DESE servers to the end user's web browser, where it was obscured by the JavaScript running in the browser. one needed only to press the F12 key on most popular desktop browsers to be presented with the personal information, including teachers' social security numbers. This was discovered by Josh Renaud, a reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who then did the responsible thing and contacted DESE about the flaw in their system. After a few days with no response, a story was published about the flaw. Well, hey, that got a response. Let's recap.
This individual is not a victim. They were acting against a state agency to compromise teachers' personal information in an attempt to embarrass the state and sell headlines for their news outlet.
Okay, now that we're caught up, you can see the hazard of responsible disclosure. So, what's the good news? Well, in a display of common sense that the governor doesn't seem capable of, the Cole County prosecutor has declined to pursue the charges. In episode 66, I had expressed the hope that the prosecutor had more sense than the governor. I think that we can say that this hope has been realized. In response to this, Renaud has issued a statement that this decision is a relief, but it does not repair the harm done to him and his family. He states, quote, "My actions were entirely legal and consistent with established journalistic principles, yet Governor Mike Parson falsely accused me of being a hacker in a televised press conference, in press releases sent to every teacher across the state, and in attack ads aired by his political action committee. He ordered the highway patrol to begin a criminal investigation, forcing me to keep silent for 4 anxious months. This was a political persecution of a journalist, plain and simple," end quote. The statement goes on to express the chilling effect that the governor's high-profile threats will have on the responsible disclosure of flaws in the state's IT systems going forward, leaving the state in a far more vulnerable and dangerous place. In my humble opinion, the state of Missouri owes Mr. Renaud, and they owe him big. I don't mean that figuratively. Real harm has been done in the interest of scoring cheap, pathetic political points. Wait, where have I heard those words before?
For pathetic political gain by what is supposed to be one of Missouri's news outlets.
Oh yeah, that was it. Anyway, the governor did some real harm to a diligent journalist acting in good faith, all in the name of scoring cheap political points. The silence coming from the governor's office is refreshing. Meta is still making a lot of news this week, so like last week, I've put all of the Meta news into one spot. Let's start off with one that involves both Meta and Google. 2 episodes ago, I spoke about Apple's plans to tighten up user security by reducing applications' access to the unique ID assigned to every iOS device. Well, Google, it seems, has similar plans in the works and has had since last year. Effective in an update slated for April 1st, when a user opts out of interest-based advertising and personalization, apps will no longer be able to retrieve the advertising identifier from the Android device, receiving instead a string of zeros. Interestingly enough, Meta, the parent company of Facebook, does not seem alarmed by this change, actually welcoming it. Apple's move cost Meta $10 billion in revenue and triggered a fall in Meta's stock, bringing the company's value down to about $600 billion. For perspective, they were worth more than $1 trillion last summer. The state of Texas is suing Meta for violation of the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act. It seems as though this Texas law requires transparency regarding the capturing of biometric identifiers. What biometric identifiers are we talking about here? Well, facial geometry, of course. Facebook has been employing facial recognition for a long time, giving them the ability to identify people appearing in one picture based on pictures that other people have uploaded and very helpfully tagged with who was there. Well, as it turns out, this does not meet Texas standards because, according to Attorney General Ken Paxton, Facebook did not adequately disclose their activities to users of the site. The law specifies penalties ranging from $10,000 to $25,000 per offense, and it's been in place for longer than Facebook has. And the third and final item in this bundle comes from an observation made by Zenger over at electoralvote.com. It seems that the steady stream of stuff that Facebook sends its users is no longer to be called a news feed, but simply a feed. Why? It seems as though Meta wants to get into the journalism business, either as a creator or an aggregator, and it naturally follows that they want to put something in place to segregate the stream of properly reported, vetted, fact-checked, and edited news from the stream of less reliable sources produced by the rumor mill, an unfortunate proportion of which is just plain false. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. This week's fail is Second Sight Medical Products, and this one makes me just incredibly sad and angry at the same time. Second Sight is in the business of bionic eyes. By way of implanting their technology, they have restored partial eyesight to around 350 patients. Like with a great deal of medical technology, these implants are closed. Closed design, closed source, patent-encumbered hardware with copyright-encumbered firmware. As long as they keep working, this is not a problem. However, if they ever need repair, you are at the mercy of the manufacturer to perform it, if they are willing and able. Well, Second Sight are now merging with Nano Precision Medical in order to stave off a bankruptcy, and they have no plans to support their installed base of implants, leaving their patients to just go blind again. This epitomizes WTF, the worst type of failure. Perhaps the axe that slayed me put it best. In her words,
"It is in your body. It is part of your motherfucking body. Nobody owns control of any part of a living fucking human body. Where's the humanitarian effort for this? Where do I donate?"
Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Asriel, The Axe That Slayed Me, Brute Trash Can, Julie Bernstein, Fungaboo, Mystere 73, and Snackness for their contributions to this episode. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email, critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Most notably, the Pegasus spyware according to Wikipedia, they have a reputation for facilitating far-right Activision. Yeah, wow, there's a company I haven't heard of in a while, thought of in a while. Not to shore up their cybersecurity amidst the increased tensions. And of course, the cat meowed just as I finished the fucking take.